This is The Science Show on ABC Radio National, coming from the British Festival of Science in Guildford in Surrey, where some scientifically minded artists are showing kids how to feed slime moulds with oats to create art.
The slime mould itself is completely harmless, but after 5 to 7 days the oats will go a bit mouldy. So you can either move house into a nice clean, moist environment with fresh oats, or you can set it free at the bottom of your garden under a wet log, or you can throw it in the bin.
It's very pretty, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is it going to eat the oats?
Yeah.
What are all those colours?
Colours? Yeah.
What colours have you got?
One, two, three.
You've got one, two, three, have you?
Yeah. Actually, one, red. Two, three, four, five, six. Yeah.
Got blue and green and a yellow bit, which is the slime mould. So what are you doing there now?
So I'm putting the slime mould into the Petri dish, and the Petri dish has got, it's got a nice felty background, which it can go and explore, and it's got lots of oats, which it will eat. So it's going to eat the little boy's drawing that he's made out of oats.
And what's going to happen in a few days' time, do you think?
Probably in about 2 to 3 days' time, it will have occupied the entire Petri dish. And after a few days, it will probably try to escape.
It's not Dictyostelium, is it?
No, it's Physarum polycephalum, which is a yellow slime mould, and it grows in a plasmodium form. It likes wet and dark habitats.
So these are fronds, or is it? Because the other one forms an actual big slug that wanders off like a beast. Will this do that?
No, this doesn't form a slug. It joins up and becomes a mast cell which swarm across. So across agar, it will occupy an entire plate and it will look for food. So it will fan out, and when it finds food, it will then form a strand and connect. So it's one giant cell made up of lots of individual single cells.
And when it escapes, it won't chase the boy, will it?
It won't chase the boy, no.
But it's safe at the bottom of the garden?
Yeah, so if the boy is dry and in the light, he's perfectly safe.
Could I ask your name?
Heather Barnett.
Heather Barnett, where do you come from?
I'm based in London, and I'm an artist that works with biology.
I see. What's your colleague's name over there who takes pictures in the dark?
Anne Brodie.
Anne Brodie. I'll go over there and see Anne Brodie. Anne, while you're up...
Yes?
May I ask you about these dishes? Anne Brodie, is it?
It is, yes.
Where are you from?
I'm from Dorking.
Now, you've got lots and lots of Petri dishes, which, in the dark, glowed. What's in the Petri dishes?
It is Photobacterium phosphorium, and it's a deep-sea bacterium.
Oh, from the ocean?
It is, indeed. Deep, deep sea, isn't it, Simon? How deep are we talking here with these bacteria?
This is Simon, hello.
Yeah, I'm a microbiologist from the University of Surrey, so I'm collaborating with Anne on the project. And so what we've got are Petri dishes that a bacterium called Photobacterium phosphorium is growing on, a bacterium that naturally emits blue-green light. So when you grow it in the laboratory in daylight, it looks like a plain sort of coloured bacterium. It's not very exciting, but the moment you turn the lights off, you get this lovely ethereal blue-green glow. And its natural sort of habitat is deep in the oceans, where it lives in symbiosis with a fish called a flashlight fish. And the flashlight fish uses light to communicate with other fish, but it needs the bacterium to make its light for it.
So they've done a deal and they work together?
It's a symbiosis, yeah. The fish get the ability to produce light and the bacterium gain a home on the fish.
Why does the fish want to do it with the light? As a lure?
Other organisms use them as lures. Obviously the anglerfish uses it as a lure.
Now, Anne,
yes.
You managed to take pictures with this sort of light?
I did, indeed, yes. If we pile up the Petri dishes enough, then we have enough light for about 24 hours to enable photographs to be taken of all sorts of people.
And amongst those people, famously Marcus de Sautoy, who's the new professor of public understanding of science at Oxford, a mathematician and football player.
Indeed he is, apparently so.
Yes, he plays so vigorously, he'd broken his hand last time I saw him. But he looks very handsome in your picture. Who else did you take?
He does. We had Lord Krebs.
John Krebs is the person who's trying to save the birds of England. He's also from Oxford, from Jesus College. He takes a very good picture too, doesn't he? He looks
and
very handsome.
And he's a runner, so we had lots to talk about. But who I really wanted and couldn't manage to get was David Attenborough, but we live in hope with David.
A beautiful part of the story is that Lord Krebs started his research career looking at the same bacteria that are in this photo booth.
So
and when he visited the booth...
Very appropriate.
Yeah.
Now, what are you going to do with this new way of taking pictures? Will you get enough light to be able to brighten London or that?
Well, not really, but a little bit of it. We're going to be doing an installation at the Old Operating Theatre in London Bridge at the beginning of December, so we'll be showing some photographs there.
What about the response of children seeing all this?
Oh, they love it. You know, light, children, you know, it's great. We're putting it to bed now.
You mean they're beginning to run out of steam?
Yeah, they are. They've run out of nutrient, pretty much,
yeah,
and oxygen.
You can imagine one of these petri dishes as a planet. So it's a bacterium that's set in a petri dish that's isolated from its environment with a finite amount of nutrients, finite amount of space. And they grow, they use up energy to make the light, they use nutrients, start to starve, start to produce toxins, and then gradually die.
What do you feed them on?
Because they're a marine organism, it's basically a synthetic kind of seawater, so it's got high levels of salt, amino acids, nutrients, sugars to get them to grow. But the most important thing is the salt, because they're seawater organisms and they need that salt to grow.
And Simon, when you're not being an artist in residence, it is your residence, University of Surrey, what's your line of research?
My main line of research is food poisoning bacterium. So there's a bacterium called Campylobacter jejuni that nobody's ever heard of, but it's the most common cause of food poisoning in the UK. So it causes about 500,000 cases of foodborne illness every year. But when you ask people what causes food poisoning, they reply, salmonella. Nobody's ever heard of it, but it causes 3 times as much food poisoning as salmonella.
How'd you get rid of it?
You can't get rid of it. It lives in chicken, so it's most of the poultry farms in the UK are infected with it. So if you go down a supermarket and buy chicken, there's a very high probability that it will be on that chicken. The most important thing you do when you come home is what you actually do with the chicken, because if you handle the chicken, you inevitably pick up this bacterium on your fingers. If you go on and then touch other foods, you contaminate other foods. If you touch tap handles, touch door handles, you contaminate those as well. So when you take chicken home, you have to be very careful how you handle it.
How long does the contamination last?
Anne's looking very worried here. Probably, I'd say it won't survive longer than an hour or a couple of hours on a tap. But when you're rushing around the kitchen, that's an incredibly long time to contaminate a lot of spaces.
We'll stick to art instead.
Yeah, let's stick to that. Yeah, I have teenage boys that are slightly less scrupulous around the kitchen than myself.
Good to meet you.
Thank you.